Hello and welcome back to another edition of Viper Bites. Today we're going to take a close look at some of those pass catching dynamic duos that we ask you the question, who would you rather? Now that seems to be easier said than done. If we look over the history of dynamic duos, especially on the silver screen, we're left with Luke Skywalker and Princess Leia, Zack and Screech, Wayne and Garth, Starsky and Hutch, George and Jerry, Norman Cliff, and Joey and Chandler. Who would you rather? It's a little bit more difficult than you would think to make a decision on who that would be. Now, we're going to look at some pass catchers here and some of the guys who did not make it, some of those duos or trios that did not quite make the cut for my top 10. DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, these are two great wide receivers here with similar ADPs going on right now. Henry Ruggs, wide receiver 48 versus Bryan Edwards, wide receiver 84. Curtis Samuel, wide receiver 40. Adam Humphries, wide receiver, 116. Now, I throw that in there just for fun because, you know what? With Ryan Fitzpatrick, nothing is of the realm of possibilities here when we're talking about Ryan Fitzpatrick. If he likes you, he's got that smile, he's going to throw it to you. Whether you're open or not, if he likes you, he's going to throw that ball in there. He's going to try and fit it into a tight window. And then, obviously, Nelson Aguilar, Jacoby Myers, neither one of them quite made the cut here. I like Jacoby Myers this year, just a little sleeper, just kind of keep your future references going on. Now, we're going to start off, we're going to head to Duval County, and we're going to talk a little bit of the Jacksonville Jaguars and the dynamic duo they got there, Laviska Shenault and DJ Chark. Now, when we take a look at this, we got Shenault currently going at about an ADP of 43. That's 113 overall. Last season, he was a wide receiver 46 with 157 points in PPR. Now, we look at that over 14 games, 79 targets, 58 receptions, 600 yards, 5 touchdowns, and he also chipped in the running game with 18 rushes and 91 yards. Now, DJ Chark, again, wide receiver 33, comes into with an overall there, 153.6 points, which was good for wide receiver 49. So you got two wide receivers kind of chiming in very similar there. He had 13 games, so one less game than Laviska Shenault. 93 targets, 53 receptions, 706 yards, 5 touchdowns, and a catch rate of 57%. And that's a lot with Minshew in there, and I think Mike Glennon factored into that a little bit too. Trevor Lawrence is coming in here as a rookie quarterback. He's going to be looking for that security blanket right off the get-go. We know Minshew's not going to go down without a fight. In fact, I think he says he hasn't had a crap in 2 weeks there because being number two is not an option in Jacksonville for that quarterback. But let's call it the way it is. It's Trevor Lawrence's team. I think Laviska Shenault is the wide receiver here that you want based on ADP, that being very similar. I think he's going to take that next step, that year two step up, especially with Trevor Lawrence there targeting him underneath, looking for that tight end type security blanket. They don't have that tight end really in Jacksonville. Shenault could fill that type of role when it comes to targets. Now, we're going to head to Denver next. I'm going to try and get this all in 30 minutes. 10 teams, 30 minutes. We'll see how fast I can talk, see if I can get you guys enough information here. But Jerry Jeudy, Courtland Sutton. Now, here's an interesting one as well, because you got Courtland Sutton, who's coming off an ACL injury back in 2020. He's going to take a couple weeks before he's 100%. Now, this battle between Jerry Jeudy and Courtland Sutton could really come down to the quarterback and who that might be. Now, let's take a look into, before we talk about Sutton and Jeudy, let's talk about Luck. They wish they had Andrew Luck, but we got Luck versus Teddy Bridgewater. Now, I think this, if Drew Lock was the quarterback, I think that's more beneficial to Courtland Sutton. Bigger wide receiver, 6'4", 215, bigger wingspan, bigger target. Teddy Bridgewater, a little bit more anticipation, a little bit more accuracy, could favor someone like Jerry Jeudy, who gets open all the time. Now, let's take a look at Sutton here. Wide receiver 33 is the number 80th player overall coming off the boards. 2019, we can't use 2020, but 2019, 124 targets, 72 reception, 1,112 yards, 6 touchdowns. Not bad. Now, Jerry Jeudy last year came in as the wide receiver. He's going off the boards as wide receiver 37, so you got it very close there again in ADP. 95th overall with 158 points, but it wasn't for the lack of targets. He had 113 targets last year. I'm going to keep saying Andrew Luck, with Drew Lock under center. But here's the thing, 52 receptions, 856 yards, 3 touchdowns, that and a catch rate of 46%. Now, Jeudy had some drops last year. That's well documented. But Drew Lock was very inaccurate last year as well. So this is a championship roster. I've talked about it with Melvin Gordon, Javonte Williams. I've talked about it time and time again. On offense, outside of the quarterback position, they have a championship roster. They got a very solid defense. This is a team that could definitely push for a wild card position here, but it all comes down to the quarterback play. And you're going to have an inaccurate passer like Drew Lock, unless he takes that next step up. Cortland Sutton's the guy. If it's going to be Teddy Bridgewater, I think Jerry Jeudy's the guy. So it's very dependent on who the quarterback is. I'm going to give a slight edge to Cortland Sutton here in this situation because I do believe Drew Lock will get the first crack at the quarterback spot. Early reports here out of training camp is Teddy Bridgewater has looked a little bit better. It's been more accurate. Those passes have been a little bit more crisp. So it could be Teddy coming out of camp. But right now, I'm going to call Drew Lock with Cortland Sutton as a combination there that you want to stack there in Denver. Now, another one we're going to a little bit of interest in there is in Cincinnati there. Kind of a fatal three-way, a little trio, if you will, there with Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, and Tyler Boyd. Now, Chase is going off the boards as the 20th receiver and 56th player overall. In 2019 with Joe Burrow at LSU, the numbers were insane, like absolutely ridiculous. 84 receptions, 1,780 yards, 20 touchdowns. That's not going to happen in 2020. I promise you that. He's not going to flirt with those numbers. I think that's more realistic to see him around the 1,300, maybe 110 target type range. But we'll see how this plays out because this trio is going to eat at each other's target share. Now, Higgins last year, wide receiver 26. He's going off the board right now as a 68th player off the board. 195 points last year, which was 28th in the league. And you look at those numbers, 67 receptions, 908 yards, 6 touchdowns. Tyler Boyd on the flip side there is going off the board at wide receiver 34, 87th player off the board, 193 points. He was one spot behind T. Higgins last year. They were 28th and 29th in ranking as PPR points, and he did that in one less game. He had 110 targets, 841 yards, and the 4 touchdowns. The difference between the two of them was really a touchdown. He had 6 touchdowns for Higgins, 4 for Tyler Boyd. You add another touchdown to Tyler Boyd, and it's a totally different game here. Now, Tyler Boyd is coming off back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons minus last year. So we go back 2018, 2019, 1,000 yards in each of those seasons. Now, we can't say that about T. Higgins there as he fell short of 1,000 last year. But if you take a look at with the 10 games that Joe Burrow started, Joe Burrow threw for 264 completions last year, 65.3% rate, 2,688 yards, 13 touchdowns. 8 of those touchdowns went to Boyd and Burrow. Boyd had 3 of those touchdowns, 725 yards, 72 receptions on 93 targets, where Higgins kind of fell into the 76 targets, 48 receptions, 673 yards, 5 touchdowns. Now, for me, I'm probably not going to be able to get Ja'Marr Chase on my team based on draft and where that ADP is currently going. But if you're looking at value, I mean, Tyler Boyd, wide receiver 34, 87th overall. I mean, you could go worse receivers than Boyd as your wide receiver 3 option or your wide receiver 4 option. So for me, based on ADP, I kind of like Tyler Boyd. Now, I think Ja'Marr Chase is going to have the best season of the three, but I think they're going to be all pretty close in 2021. That said, Ja'Marr Chase, Dynasty, he's the guy you want to own, probably then T. Higgins and then Boyd. But I think for ADP and where you're drafting, I think Tyler Boyd may be the play this year. Now let's flip over to Tennessee. We got Julio Jones and his Waffle House cleats. By the way, that automatically bumps you up a few spots on my rankings. And A.J. Brown coming back again with vengeance for the Tennessee Titans. Now, before we look at what's going on in 2020, I'm going to have to look back at 2020 here. And the departure of Corey Davis. You know, I love Corey Davis. We had that big fifth-year breakout type thing out of him. Last year, 92 targets, 65 receptions, 984 yards, and a catch rate of 70.7. That's pretty impressive. And I think Julio Jones is going to step up and get all that and maybe more. So I'm going to call it right now. Julio Jones is the player I like better than A.J. Brown based on ADP. But let's take a little bit of a deeper dive into those numbers. A.J. Brown is going off the board as wide receiver 8, 23rd overall player going. So you're getting him at the back end of the second round more often than not. And then you're kind of looking at what he did last year, 247.5 points, which would put him as a wide receiver 12. Now, he had 106 targets, 70 receptions, 1,075 yards. And then you kind of factor in those 11 touchdowns with a catch rate of 66%. Now, Julio Jones, You kind of have to scrap last year's numbers because the injuries kind of affected him. But in 2020, 9 games, 68 targets, 55 receptions, 771 yards, and 3 touchdowns. That was all done in a 9-game span with the Falcons. Now, take a little bit deeper into that look. That put him in about 146 points, which is that wide receiver 52. But when you flip that to average points per game, he bumps all the way up to wide receiver 14. And I think he's being forgotten, especially in redraft, as a guy you can get at the probably in the fourth round. So for me, that fourth round, fill another guy in the third round has a little more value than A.J. Brown, in my opinion. But now we kind of backtrack this here a little bit. We talked his lowest total outside of last year was 1,394 yards, and that was in 2019. He's had 3 seasons, Julio Jones has, of over 1,500 yards. In 2014, 1,593. 2015, 1,871. Okay, what? That's in the past. That's way back in the past. 2018 is only a couple of years back, 1,677 yards. Julio Jones can still get it done. When you got an accurate passer like Ryan Tannehill, you give him another option there. A.J. Brown kind of fills that Calvin Ridley type role for Julio Jones. I think both receivers are 1A, 1B. Both are going to be over 1,000 yards. But based on their average, where you're getting in your drafts, Julio Jones has the most value. Give me Julio in this situation. Now, let's move on to Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay Bucs have 2 fantastic receivers here. They got Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. What do you make of this? Mike Evans, wide receiver 14, going off the board at 43 overall. Chris Godwin, wide receiver 18, going off about over at number 48 overall. Again, within a couple places of each other. So who's got the better value? Who do you want on your roster? Well, for me, it's Mike Evans. I love Mike Evans. There's no disrespect to Mike Evans. All he's done since he's been in the league, he's only been in the league 7 years. This is his 8th season. All he's done is 7 straight years of 1,000 yards. He's looking to make that number 8 in 2021. And with a full offseason with Tom Brady getting accustomed to that offense, getting accustomed to that playbook, I think you can bank on Mike Evans hitting that 1,000-yard mark once again. Now, Chris Godwin, no slouch of his own. 84 targets, 65 receptions, 840 yards, 7 touchdowns. Did that in 12 games. Now, does Mike Evans hit 1,000 yards if Chris Godwin plays a full 16-game schedule? That's tough, but the targets were there for Evans. 109 targets, 70 receptions, 1,006 yards, kind of got in the last game, but the 13 touchdowns. PPR or not PPR, 13 touchdowns is huge. Take away them a few, you know, give a couple of those to Chris Godwin. Chris Godwin goes to 10. Mike Evans goes to 10. You're still going to have a very successful season, a very successful campaign for Mike Evans. So for me, give me Mike Evans just because, you know, with all things being equal, I think he's going to be the go-to guy. We've seen it in the end zone for Tom Brady. Now, we're going to move along here to Pittsburgh, which is kind of getting interesting. We talked about the trio of wide receivers that the Bengals have. Well, the Steelers are no slouches in the pass catching, wherever you want to go with this on this. Diontae Johnson, Juju Smith-Schuster, Chase Claypool, all very capable receivers, all very solid years last year. Based on points, you know, Johnson had 221 points, put him at wide receiver 21. Juju had 234 points, that put him at the wide receiver 16 spot. And Chase Claypool, now he's the interesting one. In PPR, he was wide receiver 23, but in standard, he was the wide receiver 14. Now, how does that even work? Well, right now, Diontae Johnson's going off the board at wide receiver 25. That's a 62nd player overall. He had 144 targets, 88 receptions, 923 yards, 7 touchdowns last year, and a catch rate of 61.1%. I've talked about some other catch rates going on here earlier. We always knock Diontae Johnson and drop balls and not being able to complete the process of the catch and this and that. 61.1 is higher than some of these guys we've talked about who are going ahead of him in ADP. Just some food for thought. Now, Juju, on the other side, is going as wide receiver 30, 76th player overall, 128 targets, 97 receptions, 831 yards, 9 touchdowns, catch rate 75.8%. Now, in PPR, I think Juju's a fantastic play. Chase Claypool, as mentioned, wide receiver 28, 72nd player overall. And you looked at his numbers last year, he still had 109 targets, 62 receptions, 873 yards, 9 touchdowns, but the catch rate is 56.9. That's even lower than Diontae Johnson. We don't talk about Chase Claypool in that same pass catching ability as we talk about Diontae Johnson or lack thereof. For me, give me Juju Smith-Schuster for 2021. I think those targets are still going to be there. Ben Roethlisberger is going to be healthy. I think he's going to be looking to feed him. I think you're going to have Juju coming out of the slot, creating those mismatches. Now, I think he's going to be a potential wide receiver too. I think Deontay Johnson is going to fill in that role as a wide receiver too. Chase Claypool probably in the wide receiver three, pushing for that wide receiver two, depending on this, the scoring system that you're running. But for me, give me Juju for 2021 and then Deontay Johnson beyond that. Now, we want to go ahead and go to the Bay Area here. Talk about Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel. Now, lots of people want to talk about this dynamic duo, and rightfully so. They're both, when healthy, excellent players. And when I say when healthy, I'm more referring to Deebo Samuel, but Brandon Ayuk is not without his injury history as well. Now, let's take a look at where they're going. Brandon Ayuk is going off as wide receiver 26, 62nd player overall. Last year, he was the wide receiver 35 in scoring with 184.5 points. He did this in 12 games. Remember, I mentioned he hasn't been a pitcher of health himself. He only played 12 games last year, 96 targets, 60 receptions, 748 yards, five touchdowns, a 62.3% catch rate. But we just talked about Deontay Johnson, 61.1, but Brandon Ayuk's just barely ahead of him, but we don't talk about that. I think we need to. Now, Deebo Samuel, wide receiver 38 on ADP right now, 93rd player overall off the board. Last year, seven games, 80.7 points, 44 targets, 33 receptions, 391 yards, and a touchdown. Now, I don't really want to talk about what their numbers are there, but if you look at Samuel 2019, he played the 15-game schedule there, started 11, 802 yards, three touchdowns. Both are factoring in, need to be accounted for in the run game, jet sweeps. They're going to get their touches that way too. San Francisco does a very good job at manufacturing touches for their wide receivers, but Samuel hasn't been healthy, and neither has Ayuk for a full schedule, so we don't know what they're going to get. And we do know that George Kittle's coming back, and that is probably the biggest factor in this whole thing. Me, personally, I don't want Ayuk, and I don't want Samuel knowing that George Kittle is coming back. Now, when Kittle played those eight games in 2020, 63 targets, 48 receptions, 634 yards, two touchdowns. Now, back that up to 2019, 107 targets, 85 receptions, 1,052 yards, and five touchdowns. He is going to cut into Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel's numbers. And if you're going off Ayuk here, wide receiver 26, that means you're getting him as your wide receiver three. Fair enough. And Deebo, you're getting him at 38, which is putting him as probably wide receiver four, wide receiver five. Maybe it's more of a high risk, high reward going for Deebo Samuel here. You're not risking nearly as much to get him as you would be for Brandon Ayuk. So maybe I lean Deebo because I'm not sure what George Kittle's, who he's going to cut into a little bit more. I know the sexy name here is to take Brandon Ayuk. Everyone's talking about him on Twitter. This could also come down to Trey Lance versus Jimmy Garoppolo. You get Trey Lance in there. Yeah, he's got the big gun and he can run the ball a little bit, but that's going to also bring those numbers down for both these wide receivers. So for me, I'm not touching either one of these. Brandon Ayuk last year averaged 15.5 points per game. Deebo Samuel averaged another, let me do the math quickly, 11.5 points per game. So slight advantage to Ayuk, but what you're paying in comparison to Deebo Samuel, I don't think it's worth the risk, in my opinion. Now we're getting to three of my favorite ones coming up here. We have, I want to touch base. I'm going to talk to LA here in a second, but I'm going to let's go to Kansas City first. Kelce or Tyreek. This is a fun one for me because you can't go wrong with either one of these guys. You know what I mean? It's like going to a barbecue joint and only picking one dish. You don't want to pick the one dish, but you know what? It's going to be good no matter what you take. You know what I'm saying? So here we go. Kelce, tight end one. He's being drafted 9th overall. You know what you're going to get with him. Hill, wide receiver two. He's coming off the board of the 10th overall. They're literally separated by one spot when you're drafting him based on early ADP. Now, Kelce, 312 points last year versus Logan Thomas, who was the 3rd overall tight end last year. Darren Waller was in between the two. Had 176.6 points. So 312 to 176. To find that same gap at the wide receiver position, Tyreek Hill had 328 points. So to find that spread that's equal to Kelce and Logan Thomas, you have to go all the way down to the earlier mentioned Tyler Boyd, who was the wide receiver 29 with 192.6 points. So that's the gap. If you're talking value-based drafting, it has to be Travis Kelce. Yes, there's good reason why people are taking Travis Kelce in the first round. This is it. First off, he outscored Tyreek, or he was only a couple points behind Tyreek, 312, 328. But the gap between the two, from 1 to 3 and 1 to 29, even that one, the wide receiver 29, Tyler Boyd, 192.6, was 20 points, almost 20 points more than Logan Thomas as a third tight end. So you want to get that competitive advantage at the position, you got to go with tight end here. So give me Travis Kelce over Tyreek Hill, and I'll fill out the wide receivers a little bit later. As you can see, you know what? I can get a wide receiver 3, what we talked about with Tyler Boyd, who's going to give me production as the number 3 overall tight end. Now, what else we got here? We're going to head to – you want L.A.? You want Seattle? You want L.A.? You want Seattle? Let's talk about – Seattle first, because we got DK Metcalf, we got Tyler Lockett. DK Metcalf is coming off the board as the wide receiver 5. That's the 18th overall player, and rightfully so. He was the 7th overall scoring wide receiver last year, 271 points. You know, you look at the numbers last year, 129 targets, 83 receptions, 1,303 yards, 10 touchdowns, a catch rate of 81.4. Now, to put this into perspective, I'm going to go back to Diontae Johnson and how we criticize him. DK Metcalf had a 58% catch rate back in 2019, and he jumped that all the way up to 81.4. Now, you can see it can be done. So do not discredit Diontae Johnson for the drops right now, because you can see DK Metcalf overcame that from one season to the next. Now, Tyler Lockett, man, do we really don't like to appreciate him. Wide receiver 21 currently right now off the board. 55th player currently coming off the board. He had 265 points. Did you hear that? 265 points last year. Now, not all points are created equal. We'll go into that a little bit later. But you're talking about DK Metcalf scoring as the wide receiver 7 last year. Tyler Lockett scored the 8th most points in PPR. 132 targets, 100 receptions, 1,054 yards, 10 touchdowns, and again, a catch rate of 75.8%. When you got two guys who are catching the ball at over 75%, you know they're going to keep putting it up in the air. Now, I talk about not all yards are created equal, and say what you will, but wide receiver 3 for Seattle last year was David Moore and his 35 receptions and 47 targets. So you can bet on Lockett and Metcalf maintaining that. There's going to be no regression there in Seattle for these two receivers. Now, they both had 10 touchdowns, as mentioned earlier, and consistency is key here, because DK Metcalf had 5 games over 100 yards receiving. 3 more of those games were 90. So he had 8 games of over 90 yards receiving, and he only had 5 games under 50. Kind of a little bit of a boomer bust, but in comparison to best ball Lockett, as I like to call him, if you're talking about best ball, he's got to be your guy. You're looking at only 2 games over 100 yards. And in those 2 games, he had a 100-yard game and a 200-yard game, 3 touchdowns in both those games, and then 7 games where he was under 50 yards. So a good chunk of his points last year came in 2 games. Now, if you're looking at best ball or all-season scoring, and that's how you want to play, Tyler Lockett is definitely the play here based on ADP. Now, if you're talking about a week-to-week kind of guy where you need that consistency, you have to go with DK Metcalf, even though there's a big gap in between 5 and 21. So give me Lockett when you factor in points throughout the season, best ball type thing, but DK Metcalf for all season, head-to-head type scoring. Now, my favorite one, it's coming down to the most disrespected wide receiver in the game, Robert Woods, and the comparison and his competition there in Cooper Kupp. Now, I'm going to save you the whole thing listening to me. You can probably log off here right away. The answer is Robert Woods. It's always going to be Robert Woods. No matter what the question, it's Robert Woods. Brandon Ayuk or Robert Woods? Give me Robert Woods. Now, Robert Woods is going off as wide receiver at 19. That's the 51st player overall. Last year, he was the 14th scoring receiver, 245 points, 129 targets, 90 receptions, 936 yards, 6 touchdowns. Now, we kind of look back here a little bit, and in 2018 and 2019, Woods went for 1,000 yards in both those seasons, and his targets or his receptions over the last 3 seasons, 86 in 2018, 90 in 2019, 90 in 2020. Guess what? I think you could pretty much bank on another 19 receptions for Robert Woods in 2021. Now, Cooper Kupp, on the other hand, is going off the board at wide receiver 21, the 57th overall player. 208 points last year, big gap there. That put him as the 26th scorer in amongst wide receivers. So you've got the 14th wide receiver and you got the 26th receiver in points last year. Now, Coop had his opportunities, 124 targets, 92 receptions, 974 yards, but those three touchdowns kind of limited his upside. Now, if we go back Cooper Kupp back in 2019, we just talked about back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons for Robert Woods. Cooper Kupp did hit 1,162 yards in 2019. He had 134 targets, 10 touchdowns, 92 receptions. Both these wide receivers are going to get their 90 receptions one way or the other. And here's why. Matthew Stafford. These numbers were with Jared Goff. Jared Goff. Now, Jared Goff has been to the Super Bowl, but we're talking Jared Goff here. 90 receptions each from Jared Goff. Now you get Matty Stafford. In 2020 with the Lions, and we'll talk about those pass catches that he had with Detroit last year, he went 339 for 528 for 4,084 yards, a 26-10 touchdown to interception ratio, and throwing the ball to the likes of Marvin Jones, TJ Hawkinson, Danny Amendola. DeAndre Swift was the fourth leading receiver in Detroit, and then Quintus Cephas and Kenny Galladay for five games. Come on. What do you think he's going to do for Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp? I am guaranteeing right now, one, if not both, are going to flirt with that wide receiver one status. You know what? I'll go bold. Robert Woods is going to flirt with a top six wide receiver in scoring in PPR this year because I believe in Robert Woods. Robert Woods is always going to be the answer. But look, Marvin Jones, 76 receptions, 978 yards, 9 touchdowns. TJ Hawkinson, 66 receptions. I'm pausing. 723 yards, 6 touchdowns. Danny Amendola, 46 receptions, 602 yards. And then Quintus Cephas, DeAndre Swift. We talked about DeAndre Swift in the running back handcuffs. We talked about him in the training camp previews. He's going to factor in there in Detroit, but we're talking about Daryl Henderson. I don't think he's going to be as big a factor. Tyler Higbee is definitely not going to factor in the same number as what TJ Hawkinson did for Matt Stafford in Detroit. So, you know what? Load up on Robert Woods. Wide receiver 19. Robert Woods could be your wide receiver one, but we're valuing him as a wide receiver three for the most part. Now, he's going off at wide receiver two here at 19, but when you think about it, Cooper Kupp is only going two spots behind him. There's only two receivers separating Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp. Give me Robert Woods here all day, every day. And like that, we have finished up my top 10 or 10 different dynamic duels that we're looking at here. Who would you rather? Ask yourself that question. Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, who would you rather? Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp, who do you want? Brandon Ayuk, Deebo Samuel, you tell me. Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Deontay Johnson, Juju Smith-Schuster, Chase Claypool. Who you got? Hit me up in the comments. Let me know what you're thinking. We got DK Metcalf. We got Tyler Lockett. We got Julio. We got AJ Brown. We got the trio there in Cincinnati with Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, Jerry Jeudy, and Cortland Sutton in the Mile High, and Viska Shenault and DJ Chark. Who did I miss? Should someone else be added in here? You tell me. Hit me up in the comments. Hit me up on Twitter, at Matt Donnelly FF. Hit up the Dynasty Vipers. You know what? We're always listening. We're always here for you. And with that, this is the Viper Bites, and we are signing off.